Today on Real Life Radio.
You can make some sort of a proclamation and destroy people in the name of God. You can even say to a mountain, because you have no love in your heart for anybody else, mountain, be thou removed from my way. And you know what you do? You throw it right in the front of someone else's way because you don't love.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, our children are facing cultural giants these days, unlike previous generations could have imagined. A barrage of hate and intolerance against Christians has become the norm. But the question is, are they equipped to take a stand, or will they be overcome? Our current featured resource is a powerful must-read for parents about the importance of raising strong believers who will emerge as tomorrow's Christian leaders. It's a book called Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants. It's written by Ken Ham. He's an author and speaker who's also the founder of Answers in Genesis and the highly acclaimed Creation Museum. With topics like godly generations and leaving a lasting legacy, Ken gives a powerful message about the importance of thriving in the face of cultural adversity. Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants. It's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues in his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Living the Love of God, Part 2. Now, of course, 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God at Corinth. And Pastor Jack's going to share with us chapter 13 right now, which is often called the love chapter. You see, God's love always awakens us to the spiritual realm, the need for a spirit-filled life and the love of Christ. There's no greater motivation than love. And we just need to respond to it. So today, Pastor Jack talks about how God has a personality and he's relational. We have been created by God to interact with him just as Jesus did while he was on this earth. Now with his message called Living the Love of God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Excellent word, your Bible, that we may live by it. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles this morning, church, and turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You guys all remember, we started it. We didn't get very far, but we did start it, and we're looking at a message that is entitled Living the Love of God. I couldn't think of a better title to make up out of this chapter other than Living the Love of God, because if we live the love of God out in our lives as real, true believers, I believe that we will be a culture, a church culture, a body of believers, Christians, that the world cannot deny. They won't be able to deny it. They'll be able to reject us, but they won't be able to deny us. Big difference. I pray that they would not be able to deny us because of our love. Not only for one another, but our love for them, for the world around us. But that is going to take you and I willfully putting on our boots and our big boy or big girl pants and getting out into this world that God has strategically placed you to live in. I'm curious right now, how many of you live in the very, very immediate area geographically? Do you live in Chino Hills? Raise your hand. Do you live in the Diamond Bar area? Keep your hands up. I need a Diamond Bar area. What about Corona? Anybody from Corona? Anybody from Anaheim, Placentia, Yorba Linda? Raise your hands. Okay. Where are the rest of you from then? Mira Loma. Huh? Didn't I say Ontario? Oh, sorry, Ontario. And who else? From where? San Dimas, Victorville. I feel committed to pay for your gasoline after that one. Who's the furthest away from here? Anybody from the mountain at all? Pennsylvania wins. Oh, my goodness. Pennsylvania. Amazing. Wherever you are, listen, Christian, until God moves you, you've been strategically placed in that location, even Pennsylvania, to shine for the glory of God. And that can only happen if you have the love of God in your life. And that is not normal. That is not natural. That is not easily gotten because it is not a human love. And we looked at that last time together. I'm not going to bore you with going through it again, but listen to this. In a recent campus debate last week, as a matter of fact, at Washington State University in Washington, apologist Ravi Zacharias was asked a question about, quote, the apparent decline of Christianity in the world scene. And Ravi's answer was a good one. Listen to what he said, and I quote, "It is true that in the court of public opinion, Christianity has all but lost its appeal and is in a state of decline." I agree with that fully. "This is due to the fact that believers have abandoned their post, whereas Christianity once stood in opposition against almost all of the modern day trends deemed acceptable today. This, however, is an incorrect perception. It is not Christianity that is in the decline. It is what's called the church today. It is the church that is associated with Jesus Christ. And if the church no longer looks and acts and sounds like Jesus Christ, then it must lose its influence, death by apathy." What a great word, is it not? Christianity is no longer weaker. It's no longer somehow different. It has never changed Christianity. The church's inability to embrace biblical Christianity's changed. It's the church that is saying, we don't need this and we don't need that about God. We don't want a God that believes in a heaven or a hell. We don't want to have a God that believes in this or that. We want to make up our own God and then call ourselves a church. And therein is the first step of losing the power, not only as a witness in this world around us, but the love of God. Because God will not honor falsehood. The Lord is ever current and he's forever. The Bible says in John 13, 34, a new commandment Jesus said, I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all. How many people? Who? All. All will know that you are my disciples, those that follow me. You've studied my ways, you've listened to what I've said, and you're doing what I've told you. If you have love one for another, you and I as Christians are to be reproductions of the original. And that original is none other than Jesus Christ himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll pick it up, look at verse 1. In fact, I'm going to read through and I'm going to break it up into the actual way that it's torn up or broken up or put in compartments as a theologian would look at it, because they have to think like that. That's why they do this. But it's valuable. Watch. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3, which is where we're studying today, we look at the preeminence of love. It's revealed there. And that would be the value of the preeminence of the love of God. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." They did that back in those days when the pagans worshiped their gods. They made a lot of noise. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing." We go from the preeminence of love to verses 4 to 7 in the prerogative of love. That is the virtue of it. "Love suffers long and it is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." That will be our study next week. And then finally, verses 8 to 13, there's the permanency, the foreverness of the love of God. "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge," meaning it will vanish away someday, it'll all be gone. It will vanish. There'll be no need for it. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. That is, we do that by faith. There's a sense of error because we're humans. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man or one of being a mature believer, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. By the way, I don't want to get off on this right now. Simply this, that is an awesome statement. It means I look into the Bible, the Word of God right now, and I see myself. But because of my humanity, the interaction is somewhat limited because I'm still battling with sin. But there's going to be a day when I'm going to stand in front of Jesus with the sin factor fully removed, and then I will know even as I am known. He says, for I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Verse 13, and now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, the trinity of the Christian character, but the greatest of these is love. Very quickly, before we get into the second point, this is what we looked at last week regarding living for the love of God. Number one was this, found in verse one, is that has his love awakened you? Three things we looked at. Remember, number one, if his love resides in your life, Christian, you have been awakened to the reality of spiritual things. That's just part of your new nature. You're a brand new person. You are a brand new creation after the things of God. You were once dead to the things of the Spirit, and now you are alive to the things of the Spirit. You were once dead to the things that concerned God. Now you're alive to those things that concern God. You've been awakened to the things of the spirit realm. The next thing is that you've been keenly awakened to your need, to the need of real life, of true life. Those of us who are Christians understand, know perfectly right well, though it's a picture perfect day outside, and we thank God for it. We don't sink our feet down too deep into this world. It is fleeting, it is passing away, and we have found new life. And I'm asking right now, if you're not a Christian today, I am praying that my God would provoke you so much to godly jealousy, meaning this, that you would say, doggone it, I want what he's got. Amen. I want to have that peace, I want to have that boldness, because understand something, this ain't personality talking to you right now. He has changed my life. And I want you to be able to say today, God has changed my life. And I have a whole new look on life. And it's based upon God. And thirdly, we saw last time regarding the love of Christ, that we love Jesus. Yes, we do. We love Jesus. We love Jesus now. It's all about Jesus. It's not about church. My, what beautiful stained glass. Who cares? I mean, we don't have stained glass here. I'm just making that up. Oh, my, look at this and look at that. Who cares? Do we love Jesus? And the whole reason why we are so dissecting this chapter is because what I said last week is I don't want to get to chapter 14 and talk about the use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit if we are not first a loving church. Because the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible tells us that they had every gift of the Holy Spirit at work in that church. And they were the most carnal, messed up, backbiting, God-forsaken church in their practice. And it was an embarrassment. But boy, did they have all the gifts. If you wanted to have a really great time and see all the gifts in action, you would go to the church at Corinth. But you wouldn't see the holiness of God. And you wouldn't see the love of God. Isn't that amazing? Somebody would stand up and preach a message there or have a tongue or an interpretation of a tongue. Somebody would have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. And then they would get in their donkeys after service and run each other over trying to get out of the parking lot. It was a church without love. They consumed one another with their mouths. A.W. Tozer writes, listen to this. If something less than the agape love of God in Jesus Christ is the animating power behind our lives, then the Bible says that we are nothing. That is to say that our total logos, the word, our pathos of passion, our ethos, our lifestyle is nothing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
So here we go, church. We're diving in now. Part two of the message is our second point. Living for the love of God is this. Have you responded to that love of God's? Have you responded to his love? Number one, the Bible tells us here, but if we have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy to speak forth the word of God, to announce, it doesn't mean to tell the future. It means to herald forth the word of God. Imagine if I'm a modern day Billy Graham or a Dwight L. Moody, and the world swoons at the preaching of the word of God, and I step off that pulpit and have not love. If I have all the understanding of all the mysteries, that is, I can approach the Bible and the great conundrums of life and have the answer. Some great philosopher. I could be the person who the whole world comes to and says, oh, we need these answers. And have not love, the Bible says, I'm nothing. Though I have all faith, look at this. God says, now match this in light of modern day Christian television that says, if you have enough faith, just send me $100. Just send me $100 bill and you'll be rich. The Bible says, if I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, that's huge. But have not love, it profits me nothing. Listen, so what if you have all the faith in the world to move a mountain? Well, if you have enough faith, you know, all that stuff, if you have enough faith. I'm sick of hearing that stuff. If you don't have love, here's what will happen. You will preach a message and wind up slaying people with it. You can make some sort of a proclamation and destroy people in the name of God. You can even say to a mountain, because you have no love in your heart for anybody else, mountain, be thou removed from my way. And you know what you do? You throw it right in the front of someone else's way because you don't love. Well, Pastor, you don't know who I am today sitting in your audience. I'm the right reverend, pastor, doctor, professor of forensic theology of the church of the, I don't care. How loving are you? Are you known for your love? For each and every one of us who've encountered Jesus, there has certainly been a change regarding our love factor. Now, we're all growing in love. You might say, well, Pastor, what do you think you are, some super loving person? No, but I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. I'm not the same person I was 30 years ago. Do I need to grow up a lot more in this area? Absolutely. But I thank God that I can see a work in my life. Can you see a work in your life? That's what you want to be able to monitor. God is a person. And he has a personality and he's relational. And that truth as he interacts with his people should be seen. We've been created by God to interface with God. We've been announcing that. And the Bible tells us that the eyewitness accounts of Jesus and his earthly ministry show this one thing, that people who have encountered him, I love this, people who encountered Jesus wanted more of him. Nowhere in the Bible do you see people running away from Jesus. Have you read that? Stay away from me, Jesus. Go, no, whoa. You've got little kids coming to him? That's a big deal. The only thing that I do not see in the Bible, and it wouldn't have been appropriate Jewish-wise for the Jews, they wouldn't like it, but let me ask you a question. Have you noticed that little kids, they gravitate towards certain people, and other people they just kind of repel from? And I have found it funny. The kids that repel from people, I often find myself repelling from the same person. You know what I'm talking about? It's almost like little kids are like spiritual barometers. I'm not saying 100%. Maybe 99. Have you noticed dogs do the same thing? Uh-huh. Now, wouldn't it have been proper in Jesus' day for all the dogs to come up and sit on his lap? Because then the Jews wouldn't have to talk to him, because that would have been an unclean thing. But who made dogs anyway?
God did. God loves dogs. Cats, Save the email. I know. Your cat acts just like a dog, but I understand that. Listen, the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. And I agree with what Ravi Zacharias said last week in Washington State. Apathy. Apathy comes from a headless church. Apathy comes from a church that's disconnected from Christ. We cannot be a church and be in association with Jesus without being a loving body of believers. And we'll love God first. Love burns away apathy. Are you cold-hearted? Are you finding yourself, well, I'm a little bit cold of heart? You want to burn that apathy away? Draw close to Jesus. Mark it down this way. How do we do that? By yielding to God's love willingly. This is so great. Church, listen to me. Are you listening? If you and I decide today, I want to know the love of God, then here's what you want to do. You want to yield to the love of God. You want to yield to Jesus Christ, who is the personification of the love of God. You want to yield. You want to say, Lord, I'm coming to you, and I want to know your love. I want to experience it. I want to live it. I want to see this great love of yours, and I yield willingly. God is such a perfect gentleman that he will never coerce you. He will never bribe you. He'll never play games with you. He'll never play tricks with you. The truth is, God says, come to me. Receive my love. And I want to talk about that a little bit. Listen to this. By yielding to God's love willingly, that is true love. And that presupposes that you and I see the need for him in our lives. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13, I love this, the Bible says, and they were bringing their children to Jesus that he might touch them. That is a blessing, to pronounce a blessing on them. That was the custom. And the disciples rebuked them. It's kind of embarrassing, huh? These big guys out there wrestling with little kids. Stay away from Jesus. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. Boy, you're not gonna find that very often, huh? Imagine Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus turns around and he just goes, what are you doing? What? Look what he says. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. Don't put a block for them to trip over in front of me. In front of them, he says, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Isn't that great talk? Oh, that should be on the playground. That should be in the nursery. Our response to this prevenient grace of God, this preceding grace of God, is all rooted in his love for us. Jesus said, don't hold them back. Listen, don't respond right now. But are you sitting here today and you want to know the love of God? I got news for you. If you're sitting here today and you don't want to know the love of God, I'd love to know the reason why. Because honestly, I'm not being arrogant. Please don't take it this way. But in 36 years of being a Christian, I have not yet heard a person give me a good explanation as to why they don't want the love of God. They always have some dumb excuse. I don't want the love of God because I had a Sunday school teacher that really hurt my feelings back in 1935. Get over it. Well, I gave money to a church and the pastor was a crook and he ran off to Vegas. You didn't give money to that pastor. You gave the money to God. Your bank statement in heaven records it as such, and God will deal with that pastor in the end. So get over it. You cannot come up with an argument that says, I can't and I don't want the love of God in my life. You want to know why we can argue so firmly? Because it's not of this world. It's not of this earth. I'm inviting you to know heavenly love.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Living the Love of God, Part 2. We're glad you took the time to be with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere. It really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.